Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 257, part 1, Nothing But Good. Today is Friday, August 31st, 2012. We're running a little late, so be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast on Sunday for the conclusion. We're going to jump right into the message. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
It's entitled, Nothing But Good. You know, I'm sure many times while we're preaching, people think, was that meant for me? And I think many times God's messengers, they step on people's corns and their bunions. And I think their own too. A lot of times I'm ministering, I'll get convicted right in my own spirit. And so let me begin this message by saying this. If anything in this message, you listening on the radio, you hear tonight, if anything in this message should come home to you, don't send it next door. But get a chicken coop for your own chickens to come home to roost in. And let them light right there and lay their eggs right there. I mean, why come to listen for other people? I heard a guy one day, he said, boy, did I ever hear a message totally for you today. He's talking to a friend of his. And so naturally, I had to comment, waited for an opening and jumped in both feet. And I said, we don't eat and drink for others. And I wonder why we lend them our ears, not our mouths. Why should we? Why should we lend them our ears and not our mouths? See, we won't give up our mouths. That's one thing we can't give up. That's our excuse tool. That's the part of our body we make our excuses with. And I said, if we gave our ears as much exercise as our mouths, I think we'd know a whole lot more. I mean, if you have a hole, why not hole your own garden? Wouldn't that make sense? If you have a hole, why not hole your own garden? Why not cultivate your own garden? And I think a lot of times we hear so much bad from our own mouths that we think everybody else is the same way. And so therefore we're on guard. My grandpa had a story. He said a friend of his was with him, and they were standing in the barn behind a haystack. They were talking rather loud about the friend's old jackass. And that old jackass should be shot. He's so stubborn, he's so old, he's so set in his ways, so useless, so mean. Not even worth his keep. Someday, they went on, he's going to hurt someone. And out from the other side of this haystack came their old friend, Fred. Do you know they could not persuade him that they weren't talking about him? No, sir, you're talking about me. I heard you. You're both liars. And so they were both holding their sides, laughing. Man, we weren't talking about you, we were talking about your donkey. This only made him the madder. And so they had to go back to work, but not without a lot of rejoicing, because you see, finally the old guy saw himself. And so he went on the whole day with a true confession about every mean thing that he'd ever done. And from that day on, it had changed his whole life because, you know, he revealed every hatred that he had. How much hate he had in all of his stubble and straw and hay works. But anyway, every time my grandpa would see a jackass, they'd think of old Fred. And so if you're here tonight or if you're listening on the radio, come on out from behind your haystack. Use your ears. Don't jump into the middle of a conversation. Don't start worrying all the time about what you think others are thinking about you. Just recognize God. See, people don't think a whole lot about you anyway. Did you know that? Oh, they might give you a fleeting thought. Really come right down to it. They don't think a whole lot about you. Don't worry about that. I think we should think on this statement tonight, and this is what I gave that young man today. Nothing but good can come into my life, for God is in charge. The Bible says all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord. I think we should all sort of say that in our hearts tonight. Nothing but good can come into my life, for God is in charge. Nothing but good. The Bible says all things are working together for good. This thought, and many times in my life, has given me much comfort, much assurance, a sense of security. And I seen this young man as I was ministering to him, and he has had a hellish time. And I said, for God's sakes, young man, don't lose your mind. You're down here working and going back and forth, and you can build up in your imagination all kinds of things that might be happening. Remember that. Nothing can come into your life but good. And I'm going to leave you with that, and you'll have to grow into it. And I said it gave me a sense of security years ago in my own life. Gave me rest and it gave me peace. It'll also give us strength and it'll give us courage to go on. It's great to feel that God is in charge of my life and my affairs. Then I can give over all this worrying. Of course, I slip back into it momentarily. But really, deep down inside, it's rooted in me that God is in charge. I know that. I only worry so long, then I drop it. Now I know that God is pouring forth His good for me somehow. Sometimes it's in disguise. I mean, you can't go by sight a lot of times. Down the road, if you have this in your heart and in your mind, down the road it will come true. Nothing can come into my life but good. When you feel that way, when you know that, that's what happens. But when I am endeavoring to demonstrate health and supply, well, that brings me sort of a marvelous headway. But then, you know, demonstration isn't the main thing to settle on. You'll find out there's a whole lot of setbacks. We're always looking for a demonstration of power. We're always looking for a demonstration of the truth, a miracle, something we can see. Well, give me a demonstration, we say. I think about car manufacturers. I saw a movie on that. They had all the plans there on the drawing board. They drew these cars over and over and over again. Then they had scraps of paper all over. You know, before that production came, before a demonstration, there was a whole pile of clay models over in the corner. And a whole factory almost full of scrap metal. So don't you become discouraged when the manifestation doesn't take root right away. The demonstration of the truth. Just keep going towards that mark, that goal, that high calling in Christ. And you're going to get a demonstration somewhere along the line. And I found out this, that a lot of times, these setbacks lead me into a better understanding of the nature of God. Total setbacks, where you're going way ahead and all of a sudden everything's going wrong. You're going all, it's a setback. But by seeking, I found that these setbacks are used too. Well, we do it with our children. You get in there and do that and do it right, and you're not leaving the house until you do it right. And that's just exactly the way God does with us. I think God is working on all the TV people. I think every one of the TV preachers right now, radio preachers, preachers all over the United States, all of us, are going to find out that it's the grace of God that's going to take us through. That the demonstration comes from God, not us. It comes from the Holy Spirit, not us. And so it totally changed my methods of seeking. I was corrected in my seeking. I didn't waste time anymore seeking something, seeking a manifestation. And so I learned to correct my seeking. I started to seek to cover up other people's mistakes, cover up other people's sins, if you will. Love covers a multitude of sins. Look to cover up those shortcomings in brothers. Look to overlook, it says in the Bible, overlooks all things. Where did that ever go? Love overlooks all things. Doesn't take into account. Doesn't point the finger. Where did that ever go? Only miserable people, I think, seek to destroy other people. Misery, the world says, misery loves company. I think there's a whole lot of miserable people. Say amen, somebody. I think there's a whole lot of miserable people, and they just can't stand it until somebody's miserable with them. And so I think the most important phase of good, I'm talking about the very foundation and the essence of all good that can come into my life, is not the same manifestation that is poured out upon me. It's not from the outside. It's an inward thing. It's something you learn on the inside. I can't tell you exactly when it happened to me. And I always, I guess, in a way, kind of was that way for the underdog, and for the most part, I think people are. But I can't tell you when that change came, when I wanted to forgive and I wanted to kind of cover up things. Cover up nakedness in people. When you see something, preacher, or you discern, and that word is used so much, we're going to lose your discernment. Well, you lose it entirely if it doesn't show love and you don't cover a brother up. I think we take that blanket, that quilt of love, if you will, and we cover up that brother or that sister or them these people. Cover up, love covers a multitude of sins. I'm sure when you go down on the hobo bus that you don't hear everything. That you overlook a lot, don't you? And you still serve those people. Well, what is that, Jim? That's becoming Christ-like. You don't hear every swear word and every cuss word. You're not busy doing that. You're a servant. Now, when you go into a cafe, there's a lot of rude people in there. Isn't there? And you notice the waitress, and if she's on the ball, she doesn't hardly even hear him. Because she's a servant, and a servant doesn't stop to argue or debate or point the finger. Thank you very much. You turn the ticket over. Thank you, Sally. Thank you. Come again. Thank you. Kick me in the seat of the pants again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See you tomorrow night. Thank you. You've been a wonderful group, Jim says. Soup all over his shoes. Someone telling him how miserable he is. Huh? And you know what keeps us going? There's an element. There's an element there. And you're looking at maybe one out of six or one out of ten or whatever. And it's so easy to get your eyes on that one person that's giving you a hard time. Well, you know, a lot of times they're sent by God. Did you know that? Nothing but good can come into my life. This seems like it always works out, doesn't it? Doesn't it always work out? And so I'm not going to waste time building up a personal image. It's failing anyway. They were made to fail. They were made to fall short. They were made to be dependent upon the Lord. No, that lies not on the outside, it lies within myself. Christ in me, the Bible says, the hope of glory. But you see, whether I use this good is strictly up to me. It's a matter of my own free volition and action. I decide. We decide how we're going to react. When you go on the bus down there, I'm sure, when you pull up, you have to decide right then. You see one troublemaker there, and you have to make a decision on how you're going to react to them, right? When I come from St. Paul in the morning, come over here, I decide my day. When I get up in the morning, I decide my day. How I'm going to react, it's my free will here at working. God gives me that much, just like you give your children. You send them off to school, you would trust that they would behave. Of course, they don't. You would trust that they do everything that you want them to do as a parent, and they don't. But you still trust them, and then they grow up. And you've done your job. And we have to go on trusting. We have to decide in our hearts, do we trust people? The world says, don't trust, don't turn your back. Well, it's dog eat dog. What a miserable way to live. So whether I use this or not, it's strictly up to me that nothing can befall me. God hasn't ordained. I decide, do I become nasty today? I think I'll just be nasty. Nasty. Do you ever get up and decide right then? And you knew when your feet hit the floor, you were going to be nasty. Maybe you have some little ones and they come paddling. Mommy, he hit me. And boy, you bounce out of that bed and you know you're going to be nasty today. So do them children, man. They just take one look at you, and they are gone. Do I become annoyed? I think I'll be annoyed today. Do I become sarcastic? Should I be a phony nice? Boy, that is work. Did you ever try to be a phony nice? That is so much work. You might as well be mean. Did you ever set out trying to be a phony and you just feel sarcastic and annoyed and nasty and all am rolled into one and you have decided, okay, I am taking charge here. And you try to be a phony nice, a sweet nice, a pursed lips nice. It doesn't work. I think I'd like to be moody today. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. Never mind. Oh, what's wrong? Nothing. Should I be discouraged today? We decide that. You get up in the morning. You decide whether you're going to be discouraged or not. Well, it's kind of fun once in a while, isn't it? To be discouraged. What's wrong? Oh, I'm so discouraged. Nothing's going right. I mean, I am totally discouraged. I mean, these people let me down. And I trusted in them. No, we got to do our part and make room for good. You have to make room for it. You have to make room for God to manifest himself through you. You must open up to God. You must clear out, in other words, all the mental debris. And you have control of that, by the way. Just while you're laying there and before you get out of that bed, you just take all that mental debris and all, you know, you wake up and you're okay for 30 seconds till you think of what happened yesterday. And you remember all yesterday and the day before, and you go back 2 years, and some people go back 50 years. And they have all that mental debris up there and garbage, and they hash it out, and they put all the actors on the stage of their life and go through the whole play. They know it by heart. And then she said to me, and I said, I remember it was 1939. I remember that. I remember it like it was yesterday. What was 30 years or 50 years ago, God? I remember like it was yesterday, and I'll never forget. Oh, have a heart attack. How many hearing this? We got to open up the door to God, clear away the mental debris. We got to do our part in receiving God's blessings. Well, you got to make room for it. It's like I made room in this lot back here. I made room because God can't bless that lot until all the junk is out. Now, I envision, and I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would like to think that we'd get some more trailers out there. I'm looking for a demonstration. Well, God's looking for one, too. Let's demonstrate that you really want something by clearing all the junk out, all the debris out, just like we have to clear it out of our heads and out of our hearts. Clear out all of the garbage and all of the hatred and all the, ooh, I'll never forget that as long as I live. I won't forget it. I won't. I hate you. Isn't that right? See, we must make room to receive and to respond by recognizing God. That's all you have to do is recognize God's around. You know, if you recognize God's around, there's a whole lot of things you won't do. Isn't that right? You won't get into eye play? Mm-hmm. Huh? You ever been around people that get into eye play? They don't say anything, but boy, do those eyes say it. Lord, help me. I don't miss too much, you know what I mean? I wish I would sometimes. That's debris a lot of times, isn't it? Wasn't there a song like that? Them, their eyes? Now, nothing but good can come into my life, for God is in charge. That's what I have to know. Nothing but good. Oh, that sounded so great when I first got that first revelation of that. I thought to myself, nothing but God. And I prayed this. Nothing but good can come into my life because God is in charge. And I prayed that over and over and over again. I thought, well, I'll just get it so ingrained, it'll be part of my system, it'll be part of my fiber. I even gave thanks for it in advance. I visualized 5-figure savings accounts and so on. And I claimed every promise. And I thought about successful enterprises. My home paid for, the church paid for. And you know what? Demonstrations occupied my mind. I was waiting for a demonstration. Come on, it's got to work here. I believe, now let it happen. I was looking for a demonstration. Always waiting for God to demonstrate something to me from the outside. But he doesn't do that. The demonstration comes from the inside, through you. Sometimes we don't demonstrate too lovingly. Sometimes we're totally off. And I had some demonstrations, I must say. Some I helped along a little bit. Some I exaggerated a little. You know, claimers in this claiming age even lie. Maybe they think God needs help. But then came the terrible setbacks. And I thought, well, something's wrong somewhere. I'm doing something wrong. Was it my prayers? Did I say in Jesus' name? Should I say in Jesus' name of Nazareth? Should I? Maybe I should speak in tongues more. Maybe I should flip open my Bible and I'll get something right away like that. See how you do flip them open? There it is, huh? And then just live on that. Demonstrations. Maybe I don't have enough faith. You know, finally it dawned on me what was wrong. I found a great deal was wrong with me. And it was all within my own jurisdiction. And that about 90% of what went on in my mind was wrong. And it was not in any way, shape, or form in accord with what God thinks. It's just pure nonsense. And I found out that the physical or material demonstration is not the main thing. And that's where we're at right now. Well, we may desire to demonstrate some good, and I think that's good. That's all fine. We can expect it, and I think that's fine because that's scriptural. And I think we can even work towards it. But you know, a demonstration of any good is always a result of something else. And that something else, by the way, is a cause. I must be caused to do good. I don't want to do good by myself. Something else has to be the beginning. In yourself, you don't want to do good. God has to cause you to do good. Think about your day-to-day. You start out and you think you're going to demonstrate good. So we get into doing good, doing good works. Well, I'm going to do these good works. And so you demonstrate that, and you work at it, you work at it, and you work at it. But it isn't on the inside, it's all on the outside. It's artificial and it's phony. And it doesn't hold together, and we become unglued before the day is over. And then you know that you're looking for a demonstration from the outside, and you're almost like we're God. We're trying to demonstrate how good we are. Doesn't work. You turn out that you're meaner than hell a lot of times. Let's say amen, somebody, on that one. So look what's happening out there right now. Is that a demonstration of good? Is that a demonstration of God? Is that a demonstration of love? No. Something else has to be the beginning. Something else is more important. And when I began to understand this, I recognized God more. I recognized more truth. I got more light, which I mean more understanding. You know what I saw? I saw I must change my nature of seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added onto you. And by the way, after I sought the kingdom of God, there wasn't much else I wanted. It changed my very nature. What do I need with a new Cadillac? And what do I need with this and this and this and this and this and that? Seek ye first the kingdom. Everything else seems pretty flat. Well, do you mean you want to live in a tent? I didn't say that. But I wasn't looking for a demonstration through my own personal prayers for something to happen to me so I could demonstrate how great I was and how much faith I had. Of course, this meant changing me. In myself, I have to say this again. In myself, no good thing could happen, or would happen, or ever will happen. Nor did I really wish it to. If we're really honest, do you ever really wish something good to happen? Entirely, because you have motives and you have desires. And it's always got a little twist to it, and it's always got a little something to it, a little, well, I'll do this if you'll do that situation.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the times they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times they are a-changin'.